Afternoon, sorry. I'm Dr. Mark Escott. I'm Interim Health Authority for Austin Public Health. As you all may have seen, this disease that we're facing, COVID-19, is not an equal opportunity threat. The most threatened people by this disease is the elderly, particularly those over the age of 60, over the age of 70. As a result of this, it's necessary to further protect those individuals who are most vulnerable from this disease from the chance of contracting it. As a result of that and that concern, we have issued orders which are going to secure long-term care facilities, nursing homes, assisted living facilities in particular, from this threat. So some elements of that order that we're issuing right now is that building access for these facilities must be secured. In addition to that, individuals entering the facility, that includes employees, volunteers, and visitors, must be screened for fever and symptoms prior to entry into the facility. Further, any patients who have an unexplained fever illness or any staff that have an unexplained fever-related illness must immediately report those to Austin Public Health. Now, these steps are not dissimilar from what we do for outbreaks of flu in these facilities, but our effort right now is to prevent outbreak because, as we've seen in Seattle, it can be devastating if this disease gets into a facility like a nursing home or like an assisted living facility. We expect over the coming days we're going to issue additional orders for different facilities in an effort to strengthen that response. It's critical that we understand the facts in this circumstance. We are not that concerned about young people contracting this disease. If you're under the age of 50, the data that we have right now is that your risk of death is about 0.2%. It's very small. As the age goes up, the risk increases. So when we get to age 80 and higher, it appears that risk may be as high as 20%. So if we can avoid infection in those that are over the age of 60 and really focus our efforts on protecting them and managing the mild cases of the flu or the COVID-19, which are under the age of 50, then we'll be better prepared to respond to this event. So the data that we have from China, from the outbreak in China, is that case fatality rate for those over the age of 80 is about 20%.
Right, so how many assisted living nursing homes do we have under your jurisdiction that we're talking about having secured, and what would be the protocol for that?
So we have more than 300 city and county wide. And overall, we've got about 80,000 individuals over the age of 80. In our community. So this is who we must protect at this stage. We have provided guidance for those facilities. We provided guidance for other areas in the community where elderly individuals congregate because they need to take similar advice. They need to place the signs on the doors reminding people of the importance of personal hygiene, reminding folks that if they have an illness, if they have a cough, if they have a fever, that's not the place that they should be. They should be at home. And if we can share that message publicly, if we can get people to stay home when we're sick, that is really the linchpin of the success for this public health effort, and we strongly encourage people to follow that advice.
So if you're a family member who wants to visit someone in a long-term care facility, are you still able to visit them?
Right now, visitors are still welcome at those facilities. If you are sick, you are not welcome. If you have a cough, if you have a fever, then it's important that you protect your family member and the loved ones of others because we have to take this seriously. Again, we've seen the devastating effect of outbreaks that happen in nursing homes with this virus. We absolutely must prevent that here.
Who will be screening? Will they be checking everyone who comes in?
So this will be up to the facility to determine if it's going to be a staff member. They may want to use a volunteer that comes in and helps them with that. It doesn't really matter as long as it's happening before people are allowed in. And this includes patients. So we don't want folks, new patients coming in if they have an undifferentiated fever. Now, remember that people are going to have fevers from lots of different things, urinary infections, other types of infections, and we don't want people to panic in those circumstances. But if there's a case that it's not clear what's causing it, it's not flu, it's not a urine infection, and we can't identify it, that's when we want to raise the alarm.
And so when you talk about the access must be secured, is that just referring to the screenings? They would like screenings at all building access
points? Yes, yeah, so controlled access to the facility to allow for that screening to happen. Now, generally speaking, most of the, particularly the larger nursing homes and assisted living facilities already have this access. If you visited one, you have to ring in usually. That's not going to be a new step for most. The new step will be that temperature monitoring. And Austin Public Health and others in the community should serve as resources for those who need advice on how to implement these strategies.
How exactly do you track whether these nursing homes and assisted living homes are doing these recommendations?
So this is mandatory. This is not optional at this stage. And we're asking them to comply. We are going to ask our public safety partners, who often respond to calls at these assisted living facilities and nursing homes, to help us reinforce the messaging. We expect it may take a day or two for folks to start implementing strategies, and we're not going to penalize people at that stage. If we find that after several days, after a week, they're not doing it, then we have to consider enforcement. Again, this is not designed to be a penalty. It's designed to remind folks that this is a critical step in securing this community and really preventing an impactful spread of disease here. We're asking families and we're asking employees to help us share that messaging. If the facility doesn't have people checking temperatures, they need to think about volunteering or offering to help support that effort.
You mentioned that you could, in the coming days after this, be expanding restrictions in other places. Can you tell us, would those also be places associated with the elderly, or what kind of places those might be in the future?
So we're looking for other places that are highly vulnerable. There's a long list of things that we're considering now and if the situation gets worse here. Right now we want to focus on those who we know are at the highest risk. So we're trying to identify other areas where the elderly congregate so that we can offer either orders or strengthened advice on how to protect them.
What about senior activities?
Senior activities is one of those. What we're doing is we're making this information public. These orders are going to be public. Each individual establishment will receive a letter electronically and via certified mail, but the information is going to be shared widely so that community centers, so that elder care centers, those that aren't on a list of registered entities by the state, can have that information and understand the steps and why we're taking them.
But you're not making it mandatory for them at this point.
We're not making it mandatory for them at this point. It's been a broad range, really. The demographic has been broad. We do still have limited capacity here, 10 to 25 tests a day being run at the regional lab at the state, which covers about 20 counties. We are aware that private testing, including hospital system testing, may be increasing, and we expect that as that increases, we'll be able to offer testing for more people. There still will be priorities. Our priorities are those who are hospitalized and those that are higher risk for complications. Again, those who are under the age of 50 who are otherwise healthy, they're gonna be last on the list because we don't have a treatment, we don't have a vaccination to offer, and we expect that they're gonna have a mild course. So they're gonna have to understand, and we need the public to understand, that we simply cannot test everybody at this stage, and we really need to focus on those that either have a clinical impact because it's gonna determine what kind of care they need, or it has a public health impact. For instance, they live in a nursing home or assisted living facility.
And why won't APH give the numbers on samples that are being sent?
Again, this has been a request by the Department of State Health Services. They're not sharing the PUI numbers. We're not going to share the PUI numbers. Again, these are numbers of people who don't have the disease. So we can, as of right now, we aren't aware of anybody in the city of Austin or Travis County that has it. Those numbers are going to continue to increase daily because that means that we have testing availability. We will communicate when we have positive tests and we'll share further information about those individuals.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming out.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.